Well, we are in the series called Solid Ground, and last week we had our family Sunday, and we had a whole bunch of kids up here, which was great, Mitchell gave a message just kind of giving an overview of what does it mean for us to navigate this world, and that navigating doesn't necessarily mean we're doing things wrong, because life is difficult to navigate, and even as we start to look at some scriptures, even scripture is like, life is not the most straightforward thing. Even when scripture tries to make it straightforward, there's other scriptures that are like, yeah, but it's not always like that. And so as we are seeking, what does it mean for us to navigate our families or our lives through faith, social issues and crisis, we're starting with faith, because faith is really kind of the beginning of the solid ground that we can find ourselves. It's something that's developed and built within us. It's something that we foster. It's something that we kind of need to find our footing on, because the reality is that when we start talking about the social issues, which is all the things that happen around us, and then crisis, the things that happen to us, if we don't have our feet on any kind of semblance of ground before that, it's going to be a huge struggle. And so, and last week, Mitchell talked about how our families, not just our kind of nuclear families, but then also as a church family, that we are seeking to be a learning and growing community. That it's a community that learns and grows together in our families, but then also as a church family. And so as we start to jump into, okay, how do we do this? How do we find solid ground with faith? I think like one of the probably easiest things that we can go to, I mean, there is quite literally a scripture in Hebrews 11, 1 through 3, that says, faith is. So I figured we would start there. So Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, and this is talking about like the giants of faith, through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. So faith earns a good reputation. And then by faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that we now see did not come from anything that can be. That faith shows the reality of what we hope for. And hope is always this forward thinking, eager expectation, being drawn forward. It shows the reality of what we hope for. It's almost like this vision of the future, because when we see God's activity in our life, we can have faith that we can truly have an eager expectation that that reality is possible. And it's also the evidence of things that we cannot. That's what the writer of Hebrews calls faith. If we look at a dictionary definition, it's pretty much the same thing. I mean, it actually almost simplifies it a little bit. Faith is ultimately confidence in or trust in. When we talk about that, we lost faith in something or we lost faith in someone, really what we're saying is we lost trust. We lost confidence. And so when we say that we have faith in Jesus, it's not this ethereal thing that we just like can't touch. It's pretty solidly our confidence and our trust. When you say that we have faith in Jesus, we have confidence and trust in Jesus, that we believe and we have faith in the Holy Spirit. We believe and we have confidence and trust in the Holy Spirit working in our lives. But as we're talking about how do we navigate, what kind of solid ground do we find ourselves on? And I've already said Jesus and the Holy Spirit, but what is it really that we ultimately trust in, though? See, our culture would have us put our trust in a myriad of different things in order to give us a semblance of a solid ground. But But when you trust in multiple things to give you a solid ground, what happens if one falls out? Or one shifts, or they drift apart, and really you're kind of standing on this little paver. I mean, culture would say that we should put our trust. I mean, I don't know how many times. I think I looked up one thing. I clicked on one thing in social media about, like, I was like, what is this? Of some kind of like marketing something. And then I get all these things of like, you can make 6 figures in the first year if you follow my formula. Right? And if you do this, then you won't have to rely on somebody. You will have your own power. The culture says that we should rely on and put our trust in money and power. And all of that takes work. And so obviously you need to have trust in your work. You need to put your faith in work. And then that brings status, and that all culminates into this career. What is your career going to be? And then we have familial prowess, like, oh, how is our family seen and understood? And that's a good, we need good reputations, but there's something when it changes to, how am I comparing it to that person over there? And then there's pleasure. I mean, if it feels good, it should be good, right? I mean, culture says, if it makes you feel good, then it's good for you. I mean, sometimes, but yeah. Or in this season, I was just reminded of this because I think I got 14 political texts this morning. You know, it says we should put our faith in politics. That we should rely on our vote in order to accomplish, I mean, as Christians, the good news of Jesus. Or as the writer, as the book that we're going to look at, I mean, or we should rely on the vibrancy of youth or the steadiness of old age. Is that what we should put our trust in? What do you all know about the book of Ecclesiastes? Anybody read Ecclesiastes recently? It just picks you up in the morning, doesn't it? So Ecclesiastes is one of three wisdom books. And really what Mitchell talked about yesterday is that we're not trying to give you the answers of how to navigate all of these things. I mean, because we don't have them. I mean, I'm 28 years old. I can't tell you. I'm just telling you right now. I just can't. But what I can point you to is Scripture and what Scripture says, and these long-standing wisdom and principles in which we can help to navigate. And the reality is that the world is too complex to have all the answers. That's the problem with having all the answers, is because you realize really quick you don't have them. And so there's these three wisdom books in Scripture. The one is Proverbs, which we'll talk about as well. Proverbs is Ecclesiastes. And if you didn't know it, the book of Job is considered a wisdom book. It was all written with the same kind of cadence and the same approach for the people of Israel. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the like YouTube channel called The Bible Project. If you haven't, I would recommend, I mean, they have all kinds of stuff, and I think it's great. And they actually have this entire series, and I'm letting you know this because it's like me citing a source. On the wisdom books, right? And they actually give these personifications to the three wisdom books. And we'll talk about Proverbs a little bit later today, but they talk about Proverbs being the bright-eyed, super optimistic, young, energetic leader, and it kind of matches because they think that King Solomon wrote it in his younger age. So King Solomon, when God said, what do you want in order to lead? King Solomon said, I want wisdom in order to lead. And King Solomon was understood at that point in time, even in other ancient writings outside of Scripture, to be one of the wisest kings of that era. if not the wisest person on earth at that time. And then we get Ecclesiastes, and Ecclesiastes is also attributed to King Solomon, maybe one of his students, but it has a way different feel. And a lot of scholars think that maybe Solomon oversaw or started to write Ecclesiastes when he was older. He had experienced life. And instead of the bright, wide-eyed, optimistic, wise leader, you get the kind of skeptical critic in Ecclesiastes. I mean, this is pretty much how the book begins. Meaningless, meaningless. Life is meaningless. Is that in Scripture? Meaningless, meaningless. Life is meaningless. And you have these two characters in the book of Ecclesiastes. You have the author of Ecclesiastes, and then you have the teacher. And the teacher is the one that goes on this monologue, but the author is separate from the teacher, because the author kind of kicks it off in the first few verses, and the author also kind of wraps it up at the end. And so we have Ecclesiastes, and as we're talking about, man, what do we find our faith in? What solid ground do we find in? And I mean, this is Solomon. This is Solomon who was incredibly rich. I mean, his wisdom had brought him so much wealth and so much power and so much prowess. And literally, the teacher who they think might be Solomon, if it is true, literally says, I have tried every pleasure that the world has to offer. I have pursued it. I have had it. I have had career. I have had business. I have had connection. I have had power. I've had political power. And still, meaningless, meaningless. Life is meaningless. But this is how Ecclesiastes ends. And this is the author speaking. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher. Completely meaningless. But keep this in mind, the teacher was considered wise. And he taught the people everything he knew. He listened carefully to many proverbs, studying and classifying them. The teacher sought to find just the right words to express the truths clearly. The words of the wise are like cattle prods. Painful, but helpful. It gets you to go in the right direction, even if it hurts a little. Their collected sayings are like a nail-studded stick with which a shepherd drives the sheep. But my child, let me give you some further advice. Be careful, for writing books is endless, and much study wears you out. Essentially, just what that means is you're not going to be able to figure it out. Like, your existential, like, crisis, you just live there. I mean, you could study, you could research, you could write book after book after book, and you'll never be able to figure out life. It says, that's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his command, for that is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. And you know what's really, really interesting is that, and it's not all Debbie Downer Ecclesiastes. It's actually, I mean, it's quite, actually quite insightful, surprisingly. And he's saying meaningless, meaningless, all these things, and he's done all of this, and it's just like, and says, we all die. Like, we're not even different from the animals in that. I mean, that's kind of the depths in which this person goes. What's the point? You build up all this wealth and maybe you're by yourself and you don't have family or you don't have connections or friendship. Or you build up all this wealth and spend all your time and you don't have anyone that actually appreciates anything that you're going to pass on. Or you spend all this time and accept all this pleasure, but the reality is in order to have pleasure, you also have to work, and so Monday is always coming. Meaningless, meaningless. Life is meaningless. But you know what the author said isn't meaningless? You know what the author said, this is what you should find, this is where you should find yourself, is that one, life is somewhat random, which is different than the Proverbs that we're going to talk about. That we don't have control over all of our life. So you know what you should do? You should cherish the little thing, a meal with a friend or family. A significant conversation that you consider somebody close to you. The sun on your face. So all of these things that we spend all of this time, that it's just like, okay, life is terrible now, but once I get this, once I do this, once I do this, and then we miss the day. I don't know how many times I've heard, you know, people who are either my age or older or even a little bit younger, and they go back and they're almost lamenting how much, say, their parents pushed them through sport or music. And sometimes they're appreciative, and sometimes it's just like, yeah, but I didn't really know my parents. I was always going to this thing or that thing or another thing. Or parents constantly working, and sometimes parents have to work to the bone just to even provide for the kids, and that's a whole nother twisted part of the world. But I want to give my kid this, or I want to give my kid this, and this is kind of what this is what we're talking about, what we're passing on or what we're modeling. What should be enjoyed, what should be held onto and leaned into is the companionship of friendship. A good meal with a good conversation. The sun on your face and the comfort of your family. Fear the Lord and obey his commands. Just have awe and reverence. That's what the fear of the Lord means. Just awe and reverence and obey his commands. Trust. Trust. And that's what faith is. It's trust. And Scripture's even saying all the things that the world is saying that you should go after, meaningless. Doesn't mean we don't do it. Doesn't mean we just stop doing all the things. But it's like, if that's what you're going to try to find your worth in, it's going to be just an empty chasm that you're just pouring your time and your energy and everything into. It's not, it has no bottom. There is no solid ground there. So this is uplifting. But we get to transition to Proverbs. And I wanted to start with Ecclesiastes to kind of like set this ground of everything is so shaky. Let's focus on the little things. Let's focus on the day-to-day, being present, being aware, being here now. I think that's what Jesus says, that we shouldn't worry about tomorrow because today has enough worry for itself. Doesn't mean not be prudent. I feel like I always have to give the laws, but that's what worry does. It steals away the present. And so we transfer to Proverbs, and Proverbs really are these like bite-sized, like, you know, you do this and then this will happen. You do this and then this will happen. And you do this and this will happen. And we're kind of like, well, I've done that, and what you said was going to happen didn't happen. And well, that's how we got the book of Ecclesiastes. So Proverbs, when we're reading through Proverbs, and I think it's great for us to read through Proverbs and us to soak through it and everything, but Proverbs aren't promises, they're probability. This is a collection of wisdom over time in which they said, like, if you do this, you're more likely to, like, have a good life than being wicked and try to destroy people, because you know what trying to destroy people does? They usually try to destroy you back. Like, when you're nasty with people, you should just get nasty back. So then you kind of have just a nasty life. So, like, and it's kind of cause and effect. So what Proverbs are, they're not promises, they're probabilities of gathered wisdom for us to follow. And even the writer of Ecclesiastes, like, points to that and be like, yeah, this is good for us to do. It's good to fear the Lord. It's good to do wise things. Seek wisdom, but don't think that that is going to mean that your life is going to be hunky-dory. But what I'm concerned about when we're talking about faith and falling and finding solid ground and how to navigate to it and everything is that if we want to be able to navigate faith in our lives and in our families and everything that surrounds us and everything that comes at us, then we have to make sure that we are creating an environment for faith to be fostered and navigated in the first place. And that environment is created in the ways that we handle the present. The little things, the meal around the table, the conversations with friends, the little blessings or the frustrations and how you handle those things, the time with family. So I'm going to fly through some Proverbs, right? The Proverbs is a really easy book to read. Proverbs is, you open up nearly to the center of your Bible and it's Proverbs, like pretty much any printed Bible, the center is usually somewhere in Psalms. Proverbs is really close to that. So you can just flip through and find it. And the first 9 chapters, so you know, is really the instruction of a father to a son and what wisdom, how wisdom is important to follow. And there's personification of wisdom as a woman, as a really wise woman who's sitting on the street corner shouting and saying, like, people, like, follow me. And in fact, Proverbs even says that even the wise things that the world uses is actually pulling on the strings of like this interwoven wisdom that is throughout all of creation. So if people are like, they made a great business decision, that was really wise. Actually, you could probably find it in Proverbs, maybe. Or if it's wise, they're like, wisdom itself is from God. Now it's interwoven in the world, and the world uses it. And so this is what, and I think Mitchell pointed to this last week. Here's Proverbs 10:1. It's kind of the start of the of like these like little bite-sized sayings. A wise child brings joy to a father, and a foolish child brings grief to a mother. Right? A wise child brings joy to a father. And I know maybe sometimes the parents are like, yes, like, my kids need to listen to this. You see, I think this is more for parents. How are you making your children wise? What kind of foundation, what kind of things are we putting underneath our children's feet? And so here's the environment. Here's the little things that I know, because I have a 3-year-old that just soaks in everything and things come out of her mouth, and I'm like, where did that come from? And I'm like, oh, I know where that came from. Either it's somewhere at the preschool or some like from Macy or I. Like it's just spits things out. And we're like, oh. So it's about creating an environment. So here's what I think are really, really important things. I'm going to fly through a whole bunch of these. Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. As anybody, parents especially, we have to be humble in order to learn. And sometimes that means we learn from our kids. But pride leads to disgrace, but humility comes wisdom. If we want to become wise, we have to be humble. We cannot be know-it-all. And so here's the things that our kids notice. Here's the thing that people around you, even as we are seeking to help others follow Jesus or introduce people to Jesus. Proverbs 11:2. It is foolish to belittle one's neighbor. A sensible person keeps quiet. Are our kids watching us belittle other people? Are other people watching us belittle other people? And what does that say about our faith? Because a sensible person keeps quiet. 11:28, trust in your money and down you go. I like that one. I know we literally just talked about money, and I hate talking about money. I think my catchphrase around the office is, you know what I'm going to say? And they're like, you hate money. And I'm like, dude, I hate money. Everything would be easier. I would rather like trade goats. Can we go back to that? Like, that would be so much easier. We got a huge pasture out there too. So like, you know, we would be good. So trust in your money and down you go. But the godly flourish like leaves in spring. What are people seeing? Are our kids seeing that we're trusting so much in our money? 12:1. To learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. That's in Scripture. 11:28. 12:1. To learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. There have been some times that Emma Jane, it's interesting, has like caught me and corrected me, and I'm like, you do not do that. I am the parent, and I'm like, oh, man, but you're right. You know, if I'm like too snippy, and she was like, Dad, that's not nice. I'm like, oh. Like, I can learn from that. I can learn from that. 12:15-16. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. A fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted. If I had a mental picture for this, I would just put up the word politic. Everybody is just thinking their way is right, like the right way. Like there's no other right way. There's no other one. The right way. This is the right way. And there's not a lot of listening going on. And quick-tempered is, you can't do that to me. Well, they kind of can. It's just, it's how you respond to it. Stay calm when insulted. Like, that's like the gospel difference, life. 12:18, some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Are our words cutting, or are they healing? Our kids are watching. Our neighbors are watching. Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children, and those who love their children care enough to discipline them. So, like, that's kind of that's a really popular proverb, but this is the most terrifying thing as a parent. Because right now, when Emma Jane wants, like, a whole bunch of candy, does it really matter? Like, honestly, it doesn't. She goes to bed just fine. Like, we think it's just like, yeah, I'm going to, like, teach him a lesson, but it's actually the things that we do that we're like, it's fine, and then we realize down the way, it's not fine. This is way more for parents than it is for kids. I think we're like, kids, I need to, like, I can't spare the rod, whatever. I think we mistake the rod a lot. Fools make fun of guilt, but the godly acknowledge it and seek reconciliation. That's not saying like, oh, you shouldn't feel sorry for that. They deserved it. No, well, reconcile. A peaceful heart. That was 4:19. Or no, that was 14:9, 14:30. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. A peaceful heart. Oh, our world is so unpeaceful, which just means wholeness, means completeness. Leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is the cancer in the bone. 15:1. And this is really, really difficult. This one's really difficult. A gentle answer deflects anger, but a harsh word makes tempers flare. I would say if we are trying to answer to somebody, and when it says deflects anger, like we need to be mindful of probably the situation that this is, like let's go back to like disciplining the child. If we are not gentle but we are harsh, expect anger in return. And honestly, it's not the kid's fault that they're angry, because you were harsh. I mean, that's what this is saying. If you want to go round and round and have bouts and bouts, then do this. If you don't, be gentle. And that goes, adults are just grown up kids. So it goes for adults too. kind of how it works. Mockers hate to be corrected, and this is 15, 12, and 14. Mockers hate to be corrected, so they stay away from the wise. If people are trying to stay away from wisdom, red flag. They're trying to stay away from listening, red flag. A wise person is hungry for knowledge while the fool feeds on trash. Pick your trash, I don't care. But wise people don't feed on trash. It's throwaway things, throwaway statements, throwaway ideas, throwaway ideals. So it's better to have little with fear of the Lord and awe and reverence than to have great treasure and inner turmoil. 15:16. 15:33. Fear of the Lord teaches wisdom. Humility precedes honor. If we want to be exalted, then we have to be humble. I mean, Jesus pretty much said it, but the Jared Ritchie version is, like, if we seek to exalt ourselves, we will be humiliated. But if we humble ourselves, we will be exalted. 16:9. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. That's the deal. That's what Ecclesiastes is getting at. We can make all the plans in the world, and that's fine, and we can do them. Just be ready when they shift. Be ready when they change. And I have to end with this one because this is... Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. Let's listen. That's part of a learning and growing community that we're talking about in families and as a community. We have to listen. And so if we are to navigate in this world, even navigate our own faith, then we need to have an environment in order for that to happen. These are the things that create that environment. You can read through and there's a whole bunch of other practical things about money and how to get rich and all this kind of stuff. That's even in Proverbs. I mean, not promise, it's a probability, so be mindful of that. But that those aren't the things that create environment. Listening creates environment. Being open to correction creates environment. Not mocking, not belittling creates environment. In which you can say, oh, that trust in Jesus means something. It makes a difference. It is solid ground. And for us and for our children, when we know what solid ground feels like on a mundane Monday, when we're just doing the everyday, when we're reclaiming dinner time together, when we're reclaiming the little conversations and enjoying the sun on our face, and there's just the simple time together and being present, when we know what the solid ground feels like and how we're treating people and just living out every day in the way in which Jesus would have us to live, it'd be much easier to find that solid ground once again on a tumultuous Tuesday. It's what we do day in and day out, not just in chaos. The environments that we create. Let's pray. God, we are grateful that you have given us wisdom, that we don't have to just stumble through this world in darkness, but we have scripture that is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So God, we would ask that you would continue to call us forward in how we are to live and how we are to be wise. And God, help us to create environments in order for faith to be fostered, in order for solid ground to be found. And God, may we do it in community. The thing that the writer of Ecclesiastes just could not get over is that it's so much better to do everything in community. You do it by yourself, and what do you gain? But if you have a companion, if you have a friend, if you have a group of people together, then life is so much more enjoyable. So God, we would ask that you continue to call us, you continue to shape us. And God, help us to wrestle with the hard things of life. And God, give us the mindfulness just to be present, to enjoy the little things. Yes, we all have careers. Yes, we have to make money to survive in this world. Yes, we can have fun, but God, help us not to put our treasure of our heart there. Let them be things in which become tools to enjoy the little thing, to be in the moment. Give us opportunity to share the light that you give us. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And go with us as we go from here in your name.